scripture reader, please.
The reading this morning is from Luke's Gospel. Luke chapter 4, verses 14 to 21.
Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He was teaching in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he'd been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began by saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Amen.
Let's just pray for Toby. Lord, thank you for Toby. Thank you for the work that you are doing in his life. Thank you for his obedience to you this morning to preach your word. I pray for your peace, but also pray for your power. I pray for clarity of thought, for clarity of speech, and for clarity of mind. May Toby have the mind of Christ. Lord, for us hearing your word, Lord, may you anoint our ears, may you open our hearts, and may you drive us into your action. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. Lovely to see you all. So today we're looking at reaching the lost and reaching people who aren't Christians in our society. I think I'm going to lift this up to make it a bit clearer, and maybe we can turn it down a little bit at the back. Cool. So where better to start when talking about reaching the lost than Jesus? Because Jesus, well, that was his mission. Can we have the first slide, Julian? As we've just heard, he proclaims this after he comes out of the wilderness. "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he's anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." So notice there, this is basically his mission statement for his entire ministry. This is what Jesus set out to do right from the offset. And in the very first section of it, he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to proclaim good news to the poor." He's outright saying, this is what I've come to do. This is my first priority, to reach the lost, reach the people that need to come and know me. And so he shows this throughout his entire ministry. He goes to people, he preaches the good news, and further on, you know, he heals the sick, he casts out demons, he sets people free. And he also confirms this when preaching to Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, as many of you all know, gave his life to Jesus in an amazing way. And Jesus says to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he is also a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost." So that was his mission. And Jesus went to Tyre, Sidon, and Galilee to proclaim the good news. Notice that he went to them. He didn't put on an event and send out some emails and like push them leaflets through the doors. He actually goes to the people and shares, "I've got some awesome news I want to give you. I want to share with you." And it's a real testament that actually, I'm not saying that emails and leaflets don't work, they often do, but actually in sharing and being in relationship with people and sharing your relationships with Jesus to them and showing how important that relationship is to you and that you want to share that with them can be a really powerful witness and encourage people to seek after him. He's the God who goes after the lost sheep. Many of us will know this story. There are 100 sheep. 99 were kept safe, but one went astray. But Jesus wasn't content with the 99. He goes after that lost sheep and brings him back and keeps him safe. And he rejoices over that sheep. So actually,
Even if there are loads of people who are Christians, Jesus is still looking to bring more people into a relationship with him. It's his heart for the lost to come and know him, because he knows that through him they can have salvation, they can be freed, they can be receive his love. And he also reached out to the Samaritan woman at the well. Many of you know that story as well. Samaritans at that point, they wouldn't have been associated with the Jews, but this doesn't stop Jesus sharing the good news. Even though she might have been forgotten in that society, she might have been left alone, Jesus goes to and he shares the good news. And we're called to do the same. So, our call to evangelize. Can we have the next slide, Julian, please? Jesus has given us the Great Commission. So in Matthew 28, he says, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all the things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. So we have to share that good news that we've received, because in receiving his awesome love, we can't help but not share that with others. We have to bring people into that place as well, so they can receive the same things that we have, and even greater. Notice how Jesus actually says, I am with you always as well. He knows that the previous statement isn't enough, that he's just sending us out. He knows that we need him to be able to fulfill the calling. He knows that we have to be in relationship with him to be able to speak the good news to people. So, how can we be effective in our evangelism? Can we have the next slide as well, please, Julian? So, primarily, it will be appearing any moment now. We have to love God and be filled with the Spirit. This is really important. So notice, going back to this passage that we've read a couple of times now, in verse 14, Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. And then he goes on to reclaim his mission statement. So notice that Jesus, Son of God, God himself, doesn't actually start his ministry until he's filled with the Spirit and goes out in the power of the Spirit. So actually, we as ordinary humans can't possibly hope to minister without the Holy Spirit, because even Jesus himself chose not to do it that way, and actually he needed the Holy Spirit to do that himself. So actually, if we neglect the Holy Spirit, we're completely missing the point. It's not, the Holy Spirit isn't a kind of a useful add-on. It's actually a real necessity to be able to reach people. And Jesus proclaims this again in Acts 1 verse 8, if we can have the next slide. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So we receive power, and then you shall be witnesses. We have to make sure we're full of his Spirit first, before we can give to others. It's not about striving, though, to bring God's kingdom to earth. We have to look to see what he's doing. We have to be immersed in his Holy Spirit to see where he wants to move. There's no good us having plans of how we want God to move and try and fit God into those plans. We have to submit all of our ideas, all of our ways, and trust that God's got a much better plan, because he always does, no matter how good we think our plan is. And actually, it's when we immerse ourselves in him and we seek him and we rest in him that actually we're able to then reach out and serve. Could we have the next slide, please? So, again, many of you know that know Paul and his amazing revelation of Christ on the road to Damascus. So he was persecuting Christians, and then he met with Jesus, and then was blinded. And a man called Ananias came. And I read from verse 17. Ananias went his way and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once, and he arose and was baptized. And then, skipping to verse 20, immediately he preached the Christ. So actually, once he saw who Jesus was and saw how amazing he was, it wasn't that he felt he had to share, because that's what Christians did. He was so absorbed and so in love with Jesus at that point that his natural instinct was just, he had to go and share it. And that's what it's about. We have to receive that love from God directly, so that we're filled with him, so that we can then reach the others. There's no point kind of reaching out to people because we feel it's our obligation as Christians. We have to allow God to mold us before we can then reach others. And again, if we could have the next slide, please. We find out from Jesus that the most important commandment is love the Lord your God with all your heart. And he says, this is the first and the greatest commandment. So again, this is the first and greatest commandment. We have to love God before we do anything else. We have to love him. And secondary is love your neighbor. So again, we can only love our neighbor properly from a place where of God's heart if we've first loved him. And we have to be filled with him. So, how do we do this more effectively? If you can have the next slide. We have to rest in God. So this whole sermon is called Receive and Reach. So if there's one thing you get, remember you have to receive first and then reach. So we do this by resting in God. John 15:5-6 says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. So it's remaining in the vine that allows us to bear fruit. It's not us trying to create fruit for the kingdom and going out. It's actually just resting in God. And that might seem a bit weird, because the natural thing is to assume that we have to go and do stuff. But actually, it's in spending time with God in his presence and allowing him to shape us that's really important. And we need to be constantly filled with the Holy Spirit. It's not enough for us to be filled with the Spirit initially and be like, oh, Jesus is awesome, and then not go back to receive. We have to be consistently filled with him, because if we're trying to reach other people, when we impart stuff of the Spirit to others, that needs to then be replenished in us. Otherwise, all we're giving out is going to be stuff of the flesh. And the flesh doesn't save anyone. We need to be consistently reliant on him. And we do that by resting in God's word, in knowing who he is, knowing what he's done for us. We do it in prayer, understanding how awesome he is, realizing that we can give all of our requests to him and trust in him for all things. And also in worship, in just declaring his great love and letting that change us. If we can have the next slide. Banning Liebscher, who's the head of Jesus Culture, said this: more can happen in a moment in the presence of God than in a lifetime in our own human effort. So actually, sometimes it's quite tempting to strive. Sometimes there have been times this year where I've had a really long, tough week, and then I've seen that I'm down to lead worship on the following Sunday. And the temptation is just to be like, wow, you know, I can just pick 5 songs. Take me 5 minutes. It's so much effort to spend loads of time in prayer and seeking God's heart. Let's just pick some songs for once. But actually, in doing that, you miss the entire point of what you're doing. In being able to reach people and being able to impart life into them, you have to be prepared to spend time with God, to seek his heart for what he wants to do. And actually, as this quote says, if we do that, we can actually achieve far more than we ever possibly could through striving. Striving might make us feel like we've got the instant fix, but actually, the lasting fruit can only come if we seek God and we seek his heart and we seek his ambition for what happens. And we have to seek him, because actually, otherwise, what's going to happen is we're just going to, if I go back to my example, we'll just sing some songs, we won't really engage with God, we won't really connect, lives won't be changed. But if we allow God to move in those areas, then we can see healings, we can see people delivered from stuff, we can see people come to know Jesus. And actually, in striving, we're saying,
actually, I don't want to do that stuff. I don't really care that people's lives have transformed. I just want a quick fix, you know, because, you know, it's quicker for me, it's easy for me. But actually, that stuff's rubbish compared to the stuff that Jesus can do. We have to be prepared to let him in and see his goodness come. And so David and Moses recognize the importance of dwelling in the presence of God. David in Psalm 51 verse 11 says, "Do not cast me away from your presence. Do not take your Holy Spirit from me." And equally, Moses, when leading on the Israelites, wasn't content with an angel leading the Israelites on. Instead, he pleads for God's presence to remain with them. And then it's God who promises his presence to remain with them. But we need to rest in him in these times to understand how important his presence is as well. Equally, last week we were talking about courageous prayer. And actually, Paul and John is a great example, because they were out ministering to a lame man. They then preached the gospel. They then stood up against the Sanhedrin and declared how good God is, and that they couldn't stop preaching about him. And all of that would have been quite spiritually draining, because they needed to give out a lot. And their first response wasn't, after they were released, let's just have a sleep, because we're knackered, it's so tiring. Their response was to have a corporate time of prayer. If we could have the next slide. I think it's the next one. Acts 4, 31. "When they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God with boldness." So again, it's when they rested in him and recognized that all of their strength came from God, and that they couldn't do anything apart from God, that they reached out to him and he filled them with the Holy Spirit. He was faithful to his promise that he would be with them for always. And it was only then, again, that they spoke with boldness. So it's not, even if we've been really kind of, we've done great things for God in the past, actually, we can't do those great things again unless we're willing to go back and rest in God and be refilled with his Holy Spirit. And we have to be doing that if we want to see people be saved. If we can have the next slide, please. Our hearts also need to be pure before God. This is really important, because we have to, in leading an authentic Christ-like life, we can reveal who Jesus is through our actions. And Francis of Assisi is typically attributed with the quote, "Preach the gospel at all times, and if necessary, use words." Now that isn't entirely true, because we do need to preach Jesus to people. We need to show them how to be saved. But actually, in living out what we believe, we're able to show who God is to people around us just by the way we live. And actually, people are going to be far more receptive to our testimonies if we actually live the life that Christ wants us to live. Because there's nothing more annoying to someone who doesn't believe in Jesus than a Christian preaching to them, and then they look back at their life and say, "But you say love people and you hate this person over here. You hate them. You envy this person. Like, how are you expecting me to engage with your message if you don't even believe it yourself? If you're not actually willing to live it out?" So actually, we need to make sure that we're first changed before we can then go out and change others. Proverbs 4:23, "Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it." So again, if we're trying to reach people, but then we have issues, like it might be unforgiveness, it might be divisions, it might be areas where Jesus isn't Lord in our lives, if we don't deal with that stuff and lay it down and recognize that actually other people knowing Christ is far more important than these things that we hold on to, if we're not willing to recognize that, then actually we bring all those things into the places where we want God to come. So in actually we actually minister from a place of, it might be unforgiveness, it might be areas where Jesus isn't Lord. So actually we bring in things that aren't of God into a situation where only God can break in.
So we have to be willing to lay those things down in order to be totally pure and authentic, and actually will bear far more fruit if we're willing to sacrifice those things. Because ultimately, you know, we're all saved if we're Christians. And actually, the next most important need for anyone is for them to know Jesus as well. So if we're still clinging on to stuff, then we're not recognizing that actually the greater need is for others. And we need to let go of these things. The stuff we hold on to, you know, God never intended us for us to hold on to them. They're additional burdens. And he wants to free us. So if we know who God is, if we know he's good, and we know he's loving, and we know he's true, and we know he wants the best for us, let's just lay it down. Because we know that he's good. We know that his intentions for that are good. We know that he's not just going to point the finger and be like, oh, you got this issue. Sucks for you. You know, he addresses issues because he wants to deal with them. Because he's a loving father, and because he's got a better plan. So actually, if we're willing to address those and receive that sometimes we get stuff wrong and we need God to come in, then actually he can do a far greater work through us. I was at Big Church Day Out fairly recently, and one of the things that God really spoke to me about in one of the sessions was that we have to allow every space in our services for people to come to know Jesus. And that's so true, because otherwise, what are we saying? Are we saying that our desires and wants for the service are more important than the needs of people who don't know him to come to salvation? Or maybe we're even saying, does it even matter that they know Jesus? Is it that critical? And if that's the place, we need to get back to that place of him being the first love, to recognize why people need him. Because if we're asking that question, then maybe we don't know him well enough ourselves. And we need to rectify that. But also, in our hearts being pure, it's not enough to say, oh, this person's doing awesome stuff for God. Yay! Well done. We have to, if we really want to see revival, if we really want to see, for example, the whole of Palmerston Road come into this service next Sunday, if we genuinely want to see that, then it's not enough for us to say, oh, other people are doing God's work, that's awesome. We have to allow God to mold us first. We have to allow the revival to start within us so that it can then spread to other people. If we could have the next slide, please. We need to pray for the lost to know Jesus. Now, this sounds like quite an obvious one, but actually it's really critical, so there's no avoiding it. Going back to the story of Paul, Ananias went his way and entered the house, and laying hands on him, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales. He received his sight at once, and he arose and was baptized. So when Ananias prayed for him, he was then filled with the Spirit. Scales were removed from his eyes, and he saw the glory of God, and his response is to be baptized. So we need to pray for people's spiritual blindness, for their scales to be removed. I was recently at a zoo, and there was a talk. Some of the zoo figures were talking about a specific breed of snake. Don't ask me what the breed was. I came in late, and it was a very hot day, so the details kind of, you know, just didn't really sink in. But one of the things that was amazing about that was that they said, when the snake sheds its skin and a new skin comes on the snake, naturally the scales of the snake grow across their eyes, and the snake can't see. And it's the zookeeper's job to then cut those scales off so they can see. So this snake is reliant on a higher being to remove the scales from its eyes so that it can see properly. And in the same way, it's only God that can remove the scales from people's eyes and lift the veil so they can see who God is and how awesome he is. Because ultimately, we can't save anyone. It's only him who can save. And we have to be praying for people to see him, for people to understand who he is. So we have to be praying for these scales to be removed. If we could have the next slide. And we have to be open to him constantly and obedient to his call. So we need to allow God to open doors for us. Not forcing an opportunity for ourselves, but to actively seek areas where he might be using. We have to pray for God to show us where he's already moving and say, God, I really want to bless that. Where do you want me to go? Because as I said before, it's useless trying to fit God into our own ideas. We need to be in his spirit and his flow. And when we're in conversations with people, we need to be open to how he's leading. We might have a burning thing that we just feel that everyone needs to know when they come to Jesus. And if they know this one thing, then they'll instantly give their lives to Jesus. But actually, only God knows the hearts of each individual. Only he knows how to reach people right to the core depth, to the root. So even if we have an amazing answer to a question that we feel is just, you know, so awesome, you know, it might not be God's will for us to say that. We have to be prepared to lay down our answers and how we would approach situations for God to really be able to move. Because at the end of the day, we're not preaching what we want to preach to the people. We're preaching what God wants to preach to the people. And the only way we can do that is by being in constant prayer with him and listening to see if he brings a Bible verse to mind and speak that out. Because actually, when we speak his word and not our word, it cuts really deep. Proverbs 25:11, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. And actually, if we speak that word and the person receives that word, they can then go so much further than we could ever take them with our answers. But also, if you speak the word and are obedient and they don't receive it, then don't be discouraged, because God can still use that. If we can have the next slide, please. I love the prayer of John the Baptist, which says, it's not up there yet, but he must increase, that I must decrease. It's about allowing ourselves to be a complete open vessel for Jesus to come and fill and flow through us, and not let any of our self get in the way. We've got to allow Jesus to just be ministering to them directly. He would go through us, but we don't want any gunk from us coming through with the Spirit. We need the Spirit to be completely there so that he can speak most effectively. And we need to be open to how he's leading us through everyday life. I know what I did there. Sorry, Julian. So, look at the story of Philip. This is an amazing story. I love this story. Verse 26. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, rise and go towards the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. So this is an angel initially calling Philip. And in this time, he's then able to preach the word of God to an Ethiopian eunuch, and he gives his life to Jesus there and then. What an amazing story. He's had one moment of obedience to follow God's call, and then he's able to preach the gospel and he sees salvation. And most of us would be like, oh man, that's an awesome day. God is so good. You know, he's amazing. And that's true. But that wasn't enough for the Spirit. The Spirit, when they came up out of the water, this was after he was baptized, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing. And Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he passed through, he preached the gospel to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. So actually, that initial preach that he gave to the Ethiopian person, that was not the end of the Spirit's plans for that day. He was then able to preach in all of the towns between Azotus and Caesarea and preach the gospel. Imagine how much more fruit he would have seen on that day than the fruit that he'd seen with the Ethiopian eunuch. And, you know, it's so easy for us to be like, oh, God's allowed me to be used in this time. And that's so awesome. Maybe he'll do something tomorrow. We need to be constantly open to what he's doing all the time, because actually the next opportunity could literally just be right around the corner, and we need to be open and ready to accept that. And we just need to be obedient to him, ultimately. His call might not be logical to us, but if we obey, he can do so much more than we could possibly imagine. And even though we're not striving, it doesn't mean we don't have to obey. We just have to rest in him and hear his word, and then follow that call. And I just want to finish by sharing a story of how God managed to use me to speak to someone. So in one of my years away from home, I was at a prayer meeting at my church, and there was a prophetic word given that someone needed healing in their knee. And no one received the word at the meeting, which I was a little bit surprised by, but I was like, oh, these things happen, maybe the word wasn't correct, all these kind of things. But life goes on. 2 days later, though, I was chatting to one of my friends, and he was complaining about a whole series of injuries that he had. And one of the things he mentioned was a knee injury. And I was kind of like, in my head, ooh, this is interesting. So I felt intrigued to ask, if you wanted one of these injuries to be healed, what would it be? And he was like, oh, it'd be my knee. I was like, very interesting. So I started to pray to God whether this word was for him and whether I needed to step out and pray for healing for him. And then I was at church the following Sunday, and they were talking about building God's kingdom and referring it to a house, and building his walls. We had, of course, a building God's walls sermon season here, which was very good. And so they were talking about this wall, and I was kind of letting my mind wander, and I was kind of thinking, okay, so if I'm part of the church, what would I be in this circumstance? And then it suddenly hit me. I was like, oh, I'd be a brick, because I can be quite strong on my own. But when we're part of a church, you know, and we're cemented together by the Holy Spirit, we can be a really solid unit and be a wall. And that's a lot stronger than just a brick. So I was like, oh, okay, cool. Thanks God for that little revelation. I was praying on my way home about this guy again. And then it came to the point, as I was walking home, that a car was driving past, and it was blaring out music, and I was like, I'm trying to pray. Can you just stop that, please? You know, it's getting a bit agitated. And then this car gets to a traffic light, and I'm walking past the traffic, and I'm like, seriously, man, I want the music to stop. I'm trying to listen for God's word. And eventually I just lost focus. I was like, oh, I can't deal with this. Tuned into what the song was. And then the lyric of the song just hit me. And it said, just another brick in the wall. I was like, wow. Because that moved that situation from a potential opportunity for God to break in to a potential opportunity for this guy to actually know Jesus personally and give his life to him. And that gave me real excitement and confidence to go out and do it. But me being me, you know, it took me a while to actually go and do it. But eventually, when I shared with him, you know, I said, you know, I feel like God wants me to pray for your knee to be healed. And his response, he kind of held out his hand and was like, well, let's do this then. And I was like, wow. You know, God had been so clearly working in his heart before that he was able to receive that, and I was able to pray for healing for him, and we had an amazing conversation. And you know, in that scenario, you know, I did absolutely nothing in any of that. God worked in this guy's heart. God gave the word. I heard the word, kind of located it to a situation that had come across, and then God confirmed the word, and I just had to go and be obedient, and then God did the work. It's not about striving. We've just got to be in God to see what he can do. So let's pray together. Lord Jesus, I pray that you give us that confidence, that boldness to trust you in all situations, and that you lead us into scenarios where we can preach your good news to people who don't know you.
And I pray, Lord, that you give us ears that are open to you and to what you're doing so that we know where best to serve, Lord. Not from a position of striving, but to be immersed in you and your presence and your goodness and your joy and your peace and your love. And then we can go out into the world and show that amazing love to others. I pray, Lord, that we always come from the place of receiving before we reach out. And let us never miss out on an opportunity for you to do an amazing work in people's hearts, Lord. Amen. And while our eyes are closed and our heads are still bowed, we never like to end the service without giving an opportunity for people to give their lives to Jesus. So if you're in a place where you feel like something is spoken to you today, we had an amazing time of worship where we could sense God's Spirit with us. And maybe God spoke to you in that moment, or maybe he spoke to you through something that I've said. I'm just going to pray a prayer, and if you want to pray it and invite Jesus into your hearts today, either for the first time or as a recommitment, then please just pray along with this prayer in your heart. Lord Jesus, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your love and your peace. And Lord, I'm sorry that I'm a sinner, that I've done things against you. But Lord, I receive your forgiveness in full today. Thank you for dying on the cross for me, that I could be saved and that I could be righteous before you. And Lord, I want to follow you and I want to see how awesome you can be in my life. And I pray, Lord, that you would come and fill me with your Holy Spirit, that I might know who you are and the scales in my eyes might be removed so that I can see your beauty. And I pray that you would fill me afresh so that I can be a blessing to others. Amen. So if any of you prayed that prayer, if you'd just like to slip up your hand, that would be amazing. God bless you. God bless you. Lord, you've seen the response from people today, and there may be more responses in hearts as well, but Lord, I pray, Lord, that you just bless each of these individuals in their week. And I pray that they would know how high, how wide, how deep, and how long your love is, and how awesome you are in this week. Bless them, Father.